Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Will, are back. And today we are continuing some Survivor Season 50 coverage. And we are joined by Amazing Race winner and Survivor superfan James Wallington. What do you take? What is more important there, James, right now? Is it the Amazing Race winner, Survivor 50 is coming up?
Look, that's gotta be a lot. In this instance, it's Survivor superfan. Like, I'm wearing my old school Survivor shirt. Like, I've been a long time fan, as you know. So I think in this moment, I wear that cap proudly.
I'm very excited to talk about this with you. It's fun because we did a predictions and power rankings with episode with you during 45. It was Alexa and I and you, and it was really fun because to have that Amazing Race perspective, but somebody who's played a CBS show, who's won a CBS show, but then comes back and like just loves Survivor and wants to talk about Survivor, and it was fun to get that perspective. And I remember all season we were trying to reach out to do something with the Amazing Race, and then that season ended and I was like, what about Survivor 50? And you were like, yes. Like, it was just like explosion. Yes, we want to do
that. All the buzz right now, of course.
it's going to be fun. And so pretty much what we're going to do is we want to talk about what would be your ideal season 50. People you want to see, people you don't want to see, challenges. We don't even have to get into challenges, but like twists, number of days, Fiji, mm-hmm. those number kinds of
people. Of Number. We can get real weird with it too, as we've kind of been on our Survivor 50 journey, and we talked to Peridium last time, and we get to talk to James. It's like, let's hear the ideal stuff first, and then we can kind of maybe work it down into something more plausible that we could actually end up with. But I do think, and I've said this continually, is that I think there are a lot of options open for Jeff and CBS and SEG as to like, this is a monumental milestone. That few shows will ever get to. And I do think they are going to go all out for it. So I think it's okay if we get a little off the wall and weird with it, at least to start.
So we can be a little ambitious.
I think that's good to start with. And then we can workshop it maybe and find a place that's kind of in the middle between dream and reality.
Yeah. And let's be real. Season 46 was an amazing season of TV, I thought. And, it still would have been better probably if it was 39 days. Like there would have been a little bit more excitement if that was 39 days. So, I mean, let's get ambitious.
We make it even shorter. Let's go down to like 18 days. Let's really up the gameplay speed. It's going to be faster. It's going to be harder. Just everything we love about the new era. Just amp it up to the next.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, no, we don't want that.
So let me ask you that then, James. Let's start off. Everybody's going to want to know who you're looking at from a cast perspective, that like who you want, who you don't want. But I want to ask off the bat, how many days do you want? Because we've talked about going as high as 50 days. We were saying that 50 plus 26, if they did 50 days after a 26-day season, that's 76 days, which is still less than two 39-day seasons back-to-back. That would be 78 days. Mm-hmm. So ideally, because you've been a fan forever, what are you looking at? When you say season 50, I'll be satisfied if it has this many days.
I think 50 days would be a nice surprise. And I think that would be a nice change of pace compared to what this new era is showing. But I think realistically, and I think really just paying homage, if you will, to like the old school Survivors, I would love to see 39 days again. Like, let's get back to the basics and what this show really was from the very beginning. So 39 days would be my sweet spot.
Do you think that it's playing in their minds at all that they do have a 42-day season out there and they want it to be like the long, maybe if they go back to a longer season, they're going to want the longest season in US Survivor history?
And 42 days, that was one of my all-time favorite seasons. So yeah, maybe they need to amp it up and let's stick to 50 days and really put them through the ringer.
Yeah, or they go with 43 days on the nose just to say this is the longest season of Survivor. But, you know, 50, that's like doubling basically a new era season. That sounds like a bit much maybe. But we do want to have that like in the promos, like this is the longest time we've ever put castaways on an island. 43 would get you there, but that would be kind of a weird number.
Yeah. And wasn't that kind of like an obscure reason for it being 42 days to begin with? Like, I don't think that was initially planned. That just happened to be because of how the show ended up playing out.
I thought with the 42 days, it was because the season before it was so successful and the finale was so successful that they said, well, we can do an episode where like one person goes home every time and we'll get like the full amount of episodes out of it. So then you had that extra week where they said we could just start this episode with three people and people are gonna watch it. But that was not, I mean, for as good as Australia Outback is, the finale is like, oh my gosh, just get to the point. Like, let's go. Yes.
I feel like, I just think with 42, because that to me is my favorite season of all time. And maybe it's a little biased because that was the first season I tuned into live. But I feel like that was like true elements. That was true survival. You get a flash flood. You get a bushfire. You get the wildlife, Mike scooping, falling into the fire. Like there was just so much that felt very much like this is Survivor. Maybe 43 days is a good.
And what it actually was is they were doing 3-day cycles for every vote. That's what it was. I don't know why I couldn't think of that word, but that's why they thought they could go the one extra, because they would do 3-day cycles for every single boot. And then, just kind of gets to that ending. So when you're looking at it then from like a theme, casting, any of that stuff, Are you going all the way that far back if you're looking at that? Or are you saying, no, it's got to be more modern because we still have three seasons of the show that are going to have castaways we haven't even seen that could be pulled from? I mean, John Lovett's already going on a worldwide press tour.
Yes, so. He is. For me, I think in my ideal world, I would love to just throw it back. I mean, this show wouldn't be what it is today, in my opinion, if it weren't for the first 10 seasons of this show and the cast that were on them. The cast back then were like celebrities. They were household names. I mean, look at Boston Rob, for instance. Like, that name still rings true because he was that figure from like old school Survivor. I would like to throw it back. Like, let's go back to Borneo for season 50, where the first beach where this completely kicked off. And I think nostalgia is such a hot theme right now in media. Like, people love throwing it back to stuff, whether it's music, television, reboots, remakes, whatever. I feel like for 50 being such a milestone season, let's go back to the basics, back to the first beach in Borneo. Let's do the 39 days. Let's maybe up the cast a little bit because it is such a big season. But I want, in my opinion, want to see more old school survivors represented than this new era. But I do get why the new era would need to be thrown in there, because that's part of Survivor's history. That's a whole new audience, a whole new generation of fans that are now tuning in. So you can't have 50 without the new era.
Yeah, potentially 9 seasons of players who have only played one time. Like, they would be like a big pool of new era players to choose from. We already have that, but especially by the time 50 goes to shoot, the amount of players, I mean, there's a lot of people hankering for a season 49 new era all-stars or some sort of returning players just for new era, so that we can like build up some of those legends and then pick maybe a handful of those, maybe like 3 or 4 of those players who really stand out on their second time in 49, and then mix them in with people, what you're saying, James, like really get the iconic legends of this show.
Because I say this with love to Rob, but like, if you think about it with Rob's sister, Nino, he played season 6, probably at that time, you could have argued he was the best player to ever play from a strategic sense, goes out and plays All-Stars, never is able to get his footing because he had such a target on his back in the first place. So now if you go into, you do season 50 and you take one of these players, like a Jam Jam, like somebody from the new era, a Caleb, and they go on 50 and they go out really early. I feel like the fans are going to be more disappointed. I think that the pressure's on the new era players for season 50. Cause if they go home early, people are going to sit there and say, you could have given me so-and-so from the first 20 seasons that would have been in there. And maybe then at least I could have seen them go further. Cause even I think about it with Winners at War, Ethan goes out as early as he does. And I mean, you're wearing the old school Survivor shirt right now. Like, people were so pumped Ethan was on our screens that who cared that he went out super early, because we were just excited. And I'd rather see that than some of the newer players. So the pressure is going to be on them when this comes around, because they're taking a beloved player or a hidden gem player spot for sure.
And like, thinking of players, I we talked about this before we went live, but selfishly, I think it would be really fun to see people we have not seen in years and people who've honestly only played once. It would feel like a new, fresh cast, but also all-stars of people we've already are familiar with. I don't need, and I love them because I'm a huge Survivor fan, but I don't need to see Boston Rob on 50. I don't need to see Suri on 50. I just don't. And I don't need to see Parvati or Sam. Like, I don't need to see those names. Winners at War to me was their, that's it. I'm retiring those names and I'm ready to see new names that we haven't seen in a hot second.
I feel like that's going to be a really hard discussion for them. When they're casting this, because they're going to sit there and they're going to say, okay, we do legends. You do a legend season and you don't put Boston Rob or Parvati or Suri on. People are going to go, well, how can you have a legend season without those three? Right. But then if you do put them on, James, we were talking about this, you get heroes versus villains round 2. Yes. And you don't want that. So where are they going to find that middle ground? So you just named a couple of people, but like, if you're looking at the big legends, like I'm talking like the Rushmores here of like Sandra, Boston Rob, Suri, Parvati, Tyson, Tony, like the players who have played so many times, and we've seen them recently as well. Will, did I miss anybody?
I know Rupert has come up recently as like a legend. I know he hasn't been as recent, but he is a four-time player that, you know, obviously he was on Heroes vs. Villains. So maybe toss him in there too. But yeah.
That's true. Is there who from that group would you be like, thumbs up, that's fine, put them on the screen? If they're going to have to pull one or two of those people, who would you most want to see from that group that you feel like still actually has something left and it's not just going to be the same thing?
Damn, that's a tough question.
I do think Rob Cesarino would be just, I mean, we talked about this last time, Phil, but he would be one of those people early seasons. He basically played once.
I would love to see
him. I think he would just be citing what he's done outside of the game or the brand and the show as a whole. Like, to me, he's someone like makes so much sense for 50. We're not oversaturated with his presence on our screens. Well, maybe some of us are, but like not our reality TV show screens in that capacity. So, I think he would just be like a slam dunk, as I like to say,
you do.
For casting.
The thing is with him though, we haven't seen him since season 8. So nobody's going to complain about that one, right? Yeah. Like everybody would be stoked about that. But like when you think about the season 40 people, that cast was so loaded.
Yeah, but you still missed out on some greats. You didn't have Todd from Survivor China. You didn't have Tina Wesson, who I thought would have been a shoo-in. And I still don't understand why there isn't enough love for Vesepia. Like, she, in my opinion, was the first winner to play both sides. Like, everyone before that stuck with their tribal lines. Vesepia played the field. Like, she was an iconic winner that wasn't included in Winners at War. And she's one of the few winners I'd say I would like to see on 50. Just like Royal 17 in the chat. Vesepia.
Yes, there you go. Right there.
Like, she should have been on Winners at War.
She should have been.
I always go back to, I got in like a Twitter argument with Ronnie Barta because I ranked Vesepia higher than Boston Rob in my top 100 Survivor players. And
Vesepia beat him, Boston Rob, in his original season. And it took him 3 seasons to eventually get a win. So it's just kind of like, if you played once and you won on your first attempt, I think you definitely are a better player in some capacity.
And for everybody listening, now you know why I asked James to come back on, because he just reiterated everything I've always wanted to say about Boston. But okay, so let's get back to this though. So if you look at that pool of players, those season 40 people who also were around on Heroes versus Villains that have played 3-4 times, who would you be the most okay with seeing on season 50?
The first name that comes to mind is Jeri Manthi. I feel like she had such a great arc on the show and like was the front runner to win for a lot of fans, and also just the jury on Heroes versus Villains, if I'm not mistaken. Like, Jeri would have won, if I remember correctly, she would have won Heroes versus Villains if she was at the end. She's someone I would like to see again because we haven't seen her in a minute, and she is like the original villainess of Survivor. Like, she's one of those names from the OG Survivor that paved the way for some of these other strong villainess women to come onto the show and play. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good pick. And as we discuss this more, it's like the people we're talking about, Jeri, Rob, maybe even a Rupert, is like, we're getting away from Winners at War. Like, I think it's really tough with the players that have won and the players that have won and that have become icons and come on to return so many times. It's like, that makes it really tricky. But some of these players that, you know, they've only played a handful of times, you know, we haven't seen them in basically 20 seasons, or at that point, 30 seasons. Like, Jeri will not have seen for 30 seasons if she comes on 50, which is like ridiculous for a 3-time player. But that's a player that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I feel like going back that far would make sense. Like, you can pull that and you can get Jeri. Now, my question is Jeri still as popular with these newer era fans? Or do you think that's where Survivor's going to go, let's lean more towards the new era? Because what's insane about Jeri, and this is what's depressed me as I've watched Mike Bloom go through his top 50, is like, Jeri is now 53 years old. And I'm not like, she could play Survivor, there's no doubt about it. She still looks great. Like, Jeri could kill it still. But it's crazy to think that Jeri is now 53 years old. Like, she has not played in 25 years. When she played the first time, she was 28 years or 29, 30 years old, whatever it was. She's like that young at that time, it's a totally different person playing now. When she's coming into Heroes vs. Villains, it's 10 years later. She's 40. Yeah, she's a little bit older. But this is a totally different person than the first person we saw. Do you think Survivor will try to gear more towards, or casting will try to gear more towards the newer people? Like the people who they know they're going to get the same D and the same Jam Jam. And I use those as examples because I feel like those two are like locks at this point to play. Yeah. But do you feel like that's what they're going to go? Is that a safer bet than Jerry at this point?
I think you need a healthy balance. For me, I think for season 50, you have to show respect to your original fans of the show. Like, you can't just focus on the new era. You've got to throw it back. You have to. That's why I watched Winners at War, because there were so many. I mean, I would have watched it regardless. But there were so many old school winners that I'm like, we haven't seen them in a minute. Like, this is going to be fun. I just think you need to have a healthy balance, which is why I've seen people throw out their fantasy themes of like, new era versus old school versus like the middle of the pack seasons. Like, break up the tribes based on the seasons and then let them duke it out and let's see which era is ultimately the best. Like, that could be fun. It's got to be a healthy mix.
And I know, James, that you've had like some reality TV experience both playing and working. Do you think that they're going to theme this season? Like, is that trying to force too much? Do you think they'll theme it? Or do you think that they're going to say, screw it, just call it Survivor 50 and we're going to put, you know, however many people on? And in your mind, what would be ideal? Do you think it should be themed or do you think it should just be Survivor 50?
I think Survivor 50 makes sense unless they go back to Borneo, call it Survivor 50 back to Borneo. Because I think that would be, I think it would be cool. That's a little bit of a nerd in me. But I don't think you need a theme that stems from the casting. Like, you don't need to put a label on a season. If we saw, you know, five different tribes, each tribe represents a different era of Survivor, then we as fans of the show are already going to know, like, oh, they're divided like this. Like, you don't need to put a name on it. It's just already there.
Yeah, I've always kind of thought since this was announced, which I know it's been announced, like, we knew this was probably coming anyway, that of course they were going to have returning players for Survivor 50, that I think with them naming the seasons by numbers, it makes sense to keep it that way for 50, and then it doesn't restrain them in any way, where it's like, oh, we're doing Legends, but like we really want this like new era player or someone who played once in the old school game. Like, if Heidi comes back, like, is Heidi a legend? I don't know. But like, it doesn't.
She is in her own right.
She is in a way. Like, I always think she's a super underrated player. Like, I thought she's
the one I want to see back.
I would love to see Heidi back. Speaking of like an old school, like only played once. She's up there for me.
Yep.
But I think just calling it 50 lets them do like whatever they want. And like, if they are able to like get perfect numbers and able to divide them in a really specific way, and they're like, hey, we're able to do it, then sure, maybe add like a fun little subtitle. But my bet, if I had a bet on the name of the season, it's just going to be called Survivor 50.
Yeah. Don't put a label on it, otherwise there's going to be expectations, and it's just going to disappoint people when their ideal cast isn't the cast.
And they got in trouble with that during Game Changers, and I think they did learn from that, because the Game Changers cast was so loosely Game Changers. I mean, if memes were bigger when that cast was announced, the memes would have been insane. Memes were still pretty big.
Memes that were around for sure. Yeah.
I mean, poor Haley Ford did nothing before that season, and it was just like, why is she on my TV called a Game Changer?
Yes.
We did the Julia Sokolowski podcast, and she came on and she said whether she thought each cast member was a game changer or not a game changer. That was a fun podcast. Go back and listen to that if you haven't. She was ruthless when she needed to be.
I want to get this meme in here, Phil, because I remember a specific meme. It was about Sierra Dawn Thomas, and it was her on the barrels standing on and rolling on it instead of using the planks. In having it upright, and that's why she was a game changer, because she changed how the game, that challenge, was played. And that was like, that's why she's a game changer. But that's literally what the fans were doing, mocking the subtitle, because everyone's pulling at straws like, hey, why are these people cast? So I think if we just call it 50, you can really put anyone on there and just be like, hey, we're just having a 50th season of like our, you know, best cast that we can put together.
I have a wishful idea.
Let's hear me
for a second. What if you have two games of Survivor going on at once. You have, because it's an hour and a half. Like fill the episode. You have one beach with like the old school survivors, two tribes, and then the new era, two tribes, and then you compete, and then those merged tribes come together, and then they compete representing the new era and the old era of Survivor. And then that's when like the real game begins.
I would love that.
I mean, I would love that. And I think if that ever becomes a reality, I think at that point you almost have to do 50 players because you're going to get so close anyway. I mean, you're going to have what if you do 18,
I can imagine
18,
them doing like a purge of some kind where you, yes. Yeah, you bring 50 people, but then it's like you have to prove why you're here. Like you need to fight for your spot to be like a locked in castaway this mm-hmm. season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because one thing that I argued, and James, I love this idea, and I think this makes sense. One thing we've always argued was Survivor could be 2 hours and they can move the Amazing Race back to an hour. But now with the news that came out about the Amazing Race today, which it's July 5th, about like there's going to be like every leg has different twists and different whatever. It might take them 30 minutes just to explain what's going on in each leg. So maybe they need that hour and a half now. But, which, by the way, I actually think that's a fun idea, James. It's a whole nother
topic. And there's also 14 teams. Which is the most. So, like, they're trying to fill up that hour and a half.
They are. So, I think with that happening today, the idea of maybe Survivor getting 2 hours and the Amazing Race getting one goes away. But what I was looking
at... Well, not for 50, potentially. I mean, again, 50 is a special season. If 90 minutes is the standard, and it will have been for, you know, 5 or 6 seasons by the time we get to 50... then go an extra 30 minutes. Like, I think that would be okay. I think that's still definitely within the realm of possibility.
And you do James's idea with 2 hour episodes. And now you can pretty much have one old school, one new school get booted every episode. So you're pretty much doing 2 episodes every week, even though you're only doing one episode, but like, it doesn't have to be broken down in the way that like a Sunday Will Wall boot episode was, where it was like one goes home, then there's another tribal, then one goes home. This would be very much of like both things are happening simultaneously. And that actually, James, what would be interesting about that is that could potentially get Jeff Probst Jr., whoever's going to be his replacement somewhere down the line, involved with the show and doing something, because they would need 2 hosts for an idea like that.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, the production part of that would be really difficult with like, you'd probably stagger the tribal councils, but you're still then doing tribal every night, every other for each season, and that means an immunity challenge either the day. It would be a lot of work, but I mean worth it, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I God, like there's that. So much.
It'd be such a good twist. I mean, they would just be like merging, and they go, "Whoa!" Like with this group of people,
like they think they're the cast for 50, and it's like, "Psych!" Like you've actually been competing to like earn your spot against the other game going on, and now this is like,
yeah,
that
I think that would be awesome. I mean, obviously you'd have to figure out how you could trick all of them with like, you know, they're going out there, they're taking off
because everyone's talking
like, so you'd have to figure out how you could trick them in that way. But I do think that would be such a fun idea where like they get that tree mail and it's just, hey, now you're going to merge with the remaining players. And everybody's like, but we are the remaining players. What are you talking mm-hmm. about? And then you go and you have to play against everybody else. That would be fun. I mean, I think they pull that off easier in the days before, like you said, James, everybody's talking, everybody's ready to go out there and talk. And they always do before you get a returning player season. But you probably pull that off a little bit easier a few seasons ago, but that would be so fun. And in that case, James, how many players would you want to see? Like what would be your ideal amount of casts? Even if it's not that, what would be your number that you'd want to see?
I think realistically 40, right?
Yeah.
You have 4 tribes of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 beaches.
1 through 10, 11 through 20, 31, 21 to 30. Oh, well, there'll be 50 seasons.
So that's right. 21 through 30, you only need like 6.
Yeah. you break it up that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that would be fun. I mean, doing that type of thing of a 4 tribes of 10. I mean, that would be for this huge epic thing. I think even if they got 4 tribes of 8 and did like a 32, or we've said 3 tribes of 8 and they do 24, like 32, you can still do in it. Let's say they gave it a 50-day season. Like you could do that with 32 players. you know, like they could figure that out. It would be a lot. It'd be a lot from a production standpoint. And it would be a lot from, you know, how are you filling the episodes and what are you putting in? But I just finally watched the season of Australian Survivor. So for my patrons, they know that, but for everybody else, you might not. I finally watched the 2016 version. There's so much filler and they had 24 people in 55 days. I mean, if they yeah. could have had 32 people and you wouldn't have even noticed, it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they also do 26 episodes. So
I tweeted this. I just saw my tweets from when they first announced, when Jeff was like, we're going to bring back people for 50. So I want to share them because I still stand by this. I said, I'm excited about the potential of returning players for 50, but for a monumental season, I hope they pay respect to every era, especially old school, the seasons that really paved the way and made the show a hit. Players that never got a second chance, but deserved one. And then I said, I'm excited about the potential, but as an OG fan, I'm going to need at least half the cast to be those old school players. And then I said, to celebrate 50th, how about a back to Borneo with old schoolers who paved the way for the series to be a hit, and then go back to the basics of what made this show great.
I love that. And I'm pretty sure, like, if you were to check your DMs right now, I'm pretty sure my DM came to you like 5 minutes after I read all of those. it was almost instantly after all of that, the first one, because I thought that was like, that is, I think, how a lot of us feel. I know that there's other podcasters out there and there's a lot of like younger podcasters who are building their podcast up now and they're getting their footing and they've been podcasting the new era. But I know for like Will and I, for Rob, for Alexa, who, you know, jumps in and does some podcasts every now and then, the old school is where we fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And I just have a hard time. Like, I would love Jerry and Colby. I would love James and Amanda. We haven't seen them since season 20. Like, those are four people that should play. You said Todd already. I had him as the second best player of all time because he's only played once and he won like probably the hardest season to win.
But you know, he's itching to play again. Like, yeah. I think he would be perfect for
Phil. Yeah, he'd be really good. He was like almost on Winners at War. So it's like he's been in the conversation and it didn't work out. But like, yeah, Todd's one of those players that should definitely be out there. Like, especially a winner who wasn't on 40. That's such a rare thing to find. So yeah, as many of those players as possible.
Yeah, so James, you had mentioned Jerry already, and then I know you said Todd in there, and I'm assuming that means Todd's on your list. If you're looking at, like, the players you want to see from this older era, if somehow somebody from CBS is listening to this, and you're going to have any impact on who they're going to cast from the old school, since you're so into who the old school is, who are you looking at?
I would love to see Lex again.
Okay.
Same with Kathy from Survivor Marquesas. Kathy, to me, is one of my favorite survivors, but if I'm going with people like who deserve just like a second chance that I feel like would be fun to see and would feel kind of fresh, when I was watching Rob Has a Podcast, like their breakdown of each season so far, Gina Cruz from Survivor Marquesas, I felt like had so much potential and was like a standout of the pre-mergers, but got screwed because of the twist. Or I feel like if she had made the merge, I think she's one of those players that 100% could have been at the end. Like, she was just like a good early player, very likable, a great provider. I just think she's someone that I would like to see again. But I've always been like that super fan where I'm like, I'm an obscure fan of certain, like, obscure people that people are like, who? Like, wait, what? That's just someone I still stand on that grave for. I think Gina Cruz would be great.
That's like Phil for Brian Corden. I think you always bring him up from Guatemala, pre-merge, super fan, like had a lot of game. Like, why haven't we seen him play so many chances? Not to burst both your bubbles on that. I think if we saw either Brian or Gina, that would be, not that I wouldn't enjoy it personally. I think we have like a better chance at 50 days than we do at seeing those players. Which, hey, maybe isn't a bad thing.
I think John Carroll from Survivor Marquesas would be great because, like, wasn't he kind of responsible for Boston Rob going? Like, he was a good player as well. So,
and there's no one hungrier in the community to play.
He would be great. He's someone who is like. And he's got like the name recognition enough, a really early season. That's when the viewership was high. And like, you can't have your whole season filled with Carroll's, but you could sprinkle like a handful of those type of players who have only played once that do
but
have
I think
some.
People would argue, and I would also agree with Marquesas. I think Sean Rector would be the choice for that. Like he's someone that myself included has been talked about ever since I think the original All-Star season. Like that's a player people want to see back. And if you can't have Vesepia, at least have Sean, because like I feel like those two were so great on that season. So that's
where Porcino.
He would take the cake for the Marquesas slot would be Sean.
That's where poor Gina Cruz has no chance, you know, because you have the snappiest Sean.
We talked about so many. We talked about Kathy also. And then Boston Rob, guys, I mean, he's probably out there. I mean, if, like, I know we're doing our perfect season, but it would be, and I know we don't need to see Boston Rob again. And I mentioned this on the last podcast we did. They're going to try to get a lot. I mean, even if it's four or five, it's just like the really top level names to get as many eyeballs on this as possible and do their whole celebration of a year beforehand. Like they're going to need that like top level notoriety. And so I do think we'll probably be stuck with Boston Rob.
And I just want to throw this out there since James brought up Gina, and I think James and I read the same forums wherever we go, because I also always say Gina's great. And I know Jeff had like the biggest crush on Gina when she played the first time. Gina Cruz, for everybody listening at home, she went home before Boston Rob. And Will, you know where I got to go with this. She had more confessionals than Boston Rob in Survivor Marquesas. Gina Cruz, that's a piece of trivia for somebody
that's
out there.
Great trivia.
Our Miss Watermelon Queen. Like, come on. I just think it would be so fun to have someone so obscure, like, thrown into the mix. Like, it just... What if... Okay, so let's take my theme of two games going on at once. What if the tribe breakdowns were, like, pre-mergers versus post-mergers, and then that way you get these weird obscure guys.
Then you get 20. You get 20 pre-mergers.
Think about how hungry and competitive it would be to have a cast of people who've only played once, just once, and we're still like wanting to come back.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think. So with Survivor 40. It felt like the conclusion of the first 40 seasons. It felt like the conclusion of the storylines for so many of those players. I have always said, and maybe it was because COVID was ruining everybody's life at the time, but I've always said that 40 was a bit of a disappointment. It's awesome to start, but then as it gets going, all of the old school people go out really early, and then it gets pretty predictable. And look, Tony's an amazing winner. It was awesome to watch him win. But you see that from 10 miles away. By the time you get to final 12, you're like, Tony's going to win this. Like, there's no way he's losing. You can feel it. And Sarah was kind of in there as an option. But there was a bit of disappointment to that. And I think some of that does come from, you get somebody out there like Adam Klein and Michelle Fitzgerald. And I remember people at the time were like, wow, these two are legends. After they watched them on Winners at War. Going into Winners at War, they felt like the people who were out of place. And then you watch them and you say, no, they're legends. Why? Because they knew they had something to prove, and they went out there to try to prove it. Michelle's still the only winner to play more than once and not be voted out of the game. And Adam was epic. I mean, he was the star of the episodes he's in Winners at War, because they were hungry. You need to find that same hunger for 50. You can't have the people coming out there to collect a paycheck and say, I've already done this. You know, I'm going to give a couple good sound bites and maybe I'll get a show on Peacock after this. Like, no, it's got to be that amount of hunger. And if you put a Sean Rector, a John Carroll, I'm just going to go with that list, a Vesepia or a Kathy Vavrick O'Brien on there, I mean, that is, they are going to bring it from the start. They could be the first person voted out of the game, but they're not going to be boring. They're not going to be a dud. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's just like, that's just what we need. I feel like we need this for 50, are people who are hungry for it, where I feel like, sure, if you played like four or five times, it's just kind of like,
you're going through the motions a little bit.
Yeah,
like this is really like on my job now.
You're playing the game the same. Like, there's nothing new to look forward to, except that, oh, you're back on our TV screen. And like, no disrespect to people who've played multiple times, there's a reason they have. And like, I'm all for it. But I don't need like 40. Yeah, hang up your hat. 40 was your end. But that's what I'm saying. Like, bring like Tina Wesson, Todd, Vesepia, the old school Survivor winners that we have not seen. Because they didn't make the ballot for Winners at War. You can still tie in the winners, but just bring winners we haven't seen.
Yeah. And I think like Earl's a great example of that too.
I was just gonna say Earl. Yeah. Yep. Just so perfect. He's so good.
He's so good, man. And the thing that's crazy about that season is people talk about Earl like, oh, he dominated the game, he won the game, and like that's what he's known for. People don't talk about how good of a confessional giver he was. He was so good the whole season. I thought this was Yao Man season. I thought this was the Alex and Yao Man show the entire time. No, Earl is gold at confessionals from episode 1 until episode 13. That man should have played again. It's insane.
Yeah. You're not wrong. That's actually a really great name too.
Was he contacted for Winners at War? He was. And it was just so surprising.
He also was contacted. He was supposed to be on Fans versus Favorites, and then they changed it to, it was supposed to be an All-Stars, and they changed to Fans versus Favorites. So he got cut. Mm. And then I think for 40, he was supposed to be on, but he had like a work conflict or something from what I understand. And that's why he didn't go. Cause then he went on Snake in the Grass or whatever.
Yeah.
The next year, pretty much. So he was ready
to come back. The game. He's ready to play. Yeah. He'd be a great one. I wonder too. And not to like rain on everybody's parade, because I do think we are going to have some Boston Robs and Sandras and Parvati's in here. Like, I just think that like it's going to be tough to avoid, especially if we get some of our dream coming true with like 32 players or even 24 players, like, or 50 players. They're not going to just completely not include any of these players that have played 4 or 5 times. What about the prize money? We saw the prize money shift from one, it doubled for 40. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to 50, which is even a bigger season. If we really want to motivate these players, do you see them upping the prize money? I think at the very least they'll go to 2 million to match.
Oh yeah.
What I think was with Winners at War, but do you think they even go to 3 million? Or maybe just because it's 50, we can toss out 5 million and really, and then people will be like, oh my God, 5 million. And I mean, it's not unheard of, especially with the Squid Game, the challenge on Netflix. They did $4.76 million for their winner. And look, that's $5 million, just a little bit above that. Survivor is a much bigger show and franchise than Squid Game is. I mean, maybe not currently, but yeah. I mean, what do you think on that?
I can see like why they would do it, because I think like, oh yeah, like it's a, like just to keep with the hype of everything. But I also just like don't feel like it's necessary. Mm-hmm. Especially because they already did it for Winners at War, and I got why they did it, but like as a viewer, it has no impact on me what the prize money is. But from a viewer standpoint, I get it. I mean, from a player standpoint, I would get the impact of the prize money being more. And like, I think you're right, it would make people more aggressive in fighting their way to the end to win that.
Like, if Boston Rob's out there for the 97th time, and this time it's 5 million, like, are we going to see a Boston Rob that tries a little bit harder? Or if Sandra's out there, will she actually compete in a challenge and give it her all? If it's 5 million as opposed to 1 million or 2, maybe. I don't know if that's true. I mean, and also I think there are enough players that are like, they are icons, and you bring them back, they want to just play and they want to win because they want the title, they want the glory. But if there are going to be these players that maybe aren't as motivated, then I don't know.
And maybe they just have to figure out not to put those players on. Maybe if the $5 million is the only thing motivating that person to win, maybe that person's over it enough that you don't need to put them on. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's like one of the best seasons of the show, but one of the best received seasons of the show because of how hard the players played the entire game with second chances.
Yep.
And none of those people needed to be offered more than $1 million to play, because they all were close. Or in the case of somebody like Kelly Wentworth, she wasn't close, but she loves the game of Survivor as much as she does. She wants to come back out and she wants to play so bad because she never got the chance because she had to go out there with her dad the first time. Like, that's not helpful. So I think, man, give me the motivation of somebody like, I want to go out there. I'd play for 500,000 as long as I can get the title of Soul Survivor and I can prove to everybody that, yeah, I should have played numerous times already. And instead I've only played once or twice.
Yeah. I think if they want to steer clear of doing something like that, I think it would be fun to make 49 a second chances. And yeah, you bring back the people that like just either didn't really make it, didn't really perform well, or maybe people that viewers are like, oh God, they had so much potential. If they would have just gotten over that extra, that through that one tribal council, it would have been smooth sailing. Something like that for a second chance, like 49, but then you market it as the winner of this season will earn their spot to go to 50, just to keep that momentum and that build. But then you can pull for second chances from those more obscure cast members from the show through all these years that are kind of like, oh, it would be interesting to see them come back again. Like, I loved Second Chances because we got to vote. I think there was something about that, the hype, the buildup, and then watching it at the live reunion where the results were revealed and they got to go up on stage and then they were literally taken away to go to Cambodia like that night. I just think there's some hype and buildup there where they should do a second season, second chance season again, but maybe do that for 49 and then build that up going into 50.
Yeah. I wonder if they're thinking about that right now. Like, even if it's not a second chance, but I wonder if they're thinking about, we need to do some sort of All-Stars for 49. Because right now, James, I mean, even when, even Will, like you and I talked to Peridium, James, we're talking to you, the pool of players to pick from is so massive.
Yeah.
And we haven't mentioned anybody except for D and Jam Jam from the new era. And I think I'm the only one who's mentioned them on this podcast. And that pool is just going to keep getting bigger. And I think about it this way. Season 8 was All-Stars. Season 7 had the biggest personality in the history of the show, which was Rupert. Season 16 is fans versus favorites. Season 15 really plays up Todd and James and Amanda because they're going to play the next season. Season 20 is Heroes Villains. Season 19, Russell gets the biggest confessional percentage in the history of the show right before going out and playing again. And you see this over and over and over again in Survivor history, where when they're about to do an all-star season or about to do a half all-star season, a returning player season of any kind, they really play up certain players. Michaela gets so much bigger of an edit on her on Millennials vs. Gen X than she should have because she had already been cast on 34 and had already gone out there to play 34. They needed to make sure everybody knew who she was for as early as she went home. And so you have to think there's going to be somebody from 49, unless it is some type of returning player season, that is probably going to get that treatment and steal a spot right now from somebody that we are all so desperate to watch play again. And instead, we're going to get somebody who hasn't even been cast on the show yet.
Like, that could be you, Phil.
It could be me.
It could be Jay.
Yes. I think you're right. You got to build the hype up. You got to have that build up going into a big season like 50. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think like 49 keeps getting brought up. It doesn't feel like one season is enough at this point for 50. Like, it's like there's so many things to cram in, and especially we have this whole era of Survivor where none of them had to have any opportunity to play again. It just feels like, man, like this almost needs to be like a two season story. And I think, James, that's why you kind of landed with your idea of like even doing two simultaneous seasons, just because one season of 20 players feels like that's it. Like, that's all we can do. And all of these new era players just have not, like, they just, like, you have to include them, but then I feel like maybe doing 49 as some sort of returning player season also would be a really, really wise idea.
Yeah, I think 49, Jeff, send out a BCC to all his email Rolodex of everyone who's ever done the show, every single person, and just say, who's interested? You weed through the people who respond that show kind of any interest, and you find the people who've only played once. You're just like, okay, these are some names that we can start throwing around for a second chances, get a healthy balance of like the new era and the old era, and have like 49B second chances of old school versus the new school. That would be like a fun way to like tie a sweet bow. That way you don't have to focus as much on the old school for 50, even though there should be some names in there. Do that. And then, whoever wins from there goes immediately into 50 or whoever the big personality is from 50.
Like, not just the winner, but like some standouts who are like, oh my gosh, like we didn't know Heidi had this much game. Yeah, she's going on to 50. Yeah,
I want to see people seen in a minute that have only played once, because it's going to give, especially newer fans of the show who've never seen those earlier seasons, it'll feel like a new cast to them because they're not familiar with them. So why not take a gamble and cast some big names like Heidi and do another second chance before 50?
And I love that, because here's how I feel Survivor. When Jeff said at that event, we are going to do returning players for 50, he made a lot of hype and a lot of disappointment in one sentence. And people are already disappointed, because if season 50 is too heavy on the new era, people are going to be pissed.
Oh, I'll be upset.
if season 50 is the new era, but if season 50 is some old school players that you do take a chance on, like a Sean, like a Gina, like just throwing out the names that we've already thrown out, you start taking chances on Heidi, on those players, and they don't play out well, and it becomes like the all-stars that you knew were all-stars were going to do well, and they do, then people are disappointed that those other players that you took a chance on somebody like right. that. Even right. though we'd be excited, I'd be excited to see Sean Rector play for 5 minutes. I don't care. But yeah, there's going to be people out there who don't have that same connection, that weren't born when Survivor Season 4 aired, that are going to say, no, this guy sucked in Season 50. I don't want to watch him. Like, why did they waste a spot? There's disappointment on both sides. I feel like the only way to solve that is to make 49 something also.
Yeah, where you get a nice blend and respect fans from all eras of the show.
Yeah. Would you call it like season 50 part one and season 50 part two, or would that be a misnomer? Because technically,
that would be kind of fun.
Like yeah, I think we had talked about like if it was on a different part of the cycle where 50 was the first part of the filming cycle, then it would allow you to do probably get more creative with it. But because you have to do a 49th season first to then call it 50.
Yeah.
They could get creative.
You do it this day. I got it.
You got it. Yeah, there's ways. There's some loopholes there.
50 days for season 50. The two games going on simultaneously. You have like the old era versus the new era. They think they're the only cast that's really going on. At day 26, because that's what this new era is, that's when the big merge happens. They do this huge feast. And then Jeff's like, psych, like, now it's these are the two tribes, the best of this era, the best of this era going at it on 50. And then the next 25, 26 days is like the real game.
Mm-hmm. I would watch that.
I mean, that'd be amazing.
That would be amazing.
It sounds like a clusterfuck, but I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Well, but you know what, James? We're the ones watching it. We're not working it. We're enjoying it. Who cares about the people out there working it, dealing with that? We're having a good time.
And prize is $10 million.
I love that idea, though, because that would get you realistic. I mean, that would get you 40 to 50 players. I mean, that would be insane. I don't know how they could ever pull something like that off. But to me, if you're going to wow us as Survivor fans, like, you wowed us with Winners at War. I'll never forget the first time I heard about Winners at War. I remember what I was doing, what I was eating. I remember all of it because it was just epic. And now I think about with 50, how do you get that feeling again? Simply saying Legends isn't going to do that. Having one player up, my Brian Corridon gets on there, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to sit there and go, oh my God, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. It's just, I'm excited Brian Corridon's there.
Yeah. I think leaving Fiji.
Yeah.
But that would just get me excited from the jump. I'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's season 50, leaving Fiji. It's the subtitle. And then it's like just a cast of all new players. And it's a 26-day new era season, and it's the only difference. That would still be pretty exciting.
They're actually going to do the original Survivor Fiji and play it back one more time, but not on Fiji. God. That's where
they bring back the haves and have nots.
That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Papa Smurf. He's back, baby. So this is why I like doing this kind of like series, this kind of open discussion, because nobody's thinking about, I don't think, James, what you just said of this like new era versus old school. And then we got somebody over here who says the house has spoken. He says, what if both seasons were old era versus new era, so the players don't get tipped off that none of the other era are there? So literally you could have like your 20 versus 20, and it's 10 new era versus 10 old school,
and 10 new era versus the 10 cast. Old school. Yes. Okay.
And one of them is second chances, and one of them is
Legends. My God. Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's the way to do it. The second chance beach and then the Legends beach.
I mean,
and then you get some new era players. So you get like, yeah, you get more of your winners, and like you get Jesse and some of the, like, maybe, I don't know, some of the bigger iconic names can be like Legends. And then you get the more of the pre-merge kind of quirky players that didn't make it far enough can be on the second chance season.
It'd be so interesting.
I love that idea. I mean, because then you, like, even when people are missing from that cast, you can't complain that people are missing from that cast. Because it's like, look, you just got 40 people. And if you're getting that for season 50, the one thing I will say about season 50 is I don't think we're going to have a head scratcher of a casting choice. There might be some where like they stretch a little bit, they always stretch. But I don't think we're going to have that Danielle DiLorenzo, which she ended up working out really well on Heroes vs. Villains. But I remember everybody being like, really? Danielle, okay. And Candace. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's interesting. Like, those two were very shocking at the time, even though rewatching Cook Islands, I'm like, Candace really is like one of the stars of that season. I don't feel like we're going to have a head scratcher. We might have some stretches, but we're not going to have head scratchers because everybody wants to play right now. So you have an endless pool of players to pull from. I mean, as Rocky says in Survivor Fiji, because it's still in my head, we should just call Jeff on the Jeff phone right now and tell him, because I love this idea. Like, I think, and that really does cover everything, because if you, then you can get your 15 new school players. Cause I'm scared that they're going to do like 15 and five and we're all going to sit here and go.
And I think that was actually something in James's tweet, was like, bring back old schools, at least half the cast, because
it's
that
gotta
was
such, be half.
That was such to the detriment of Winners at War.
Because the issue is like they don't interact at a lot of people go to these events, right? Mm-hmm. These charity events, and it's usually the newer seasons, and they all get to know each other. They get that FaceTime. And then if you're not in the scene, if you're not going to all these social things, you aren't as in it anymore. So that relationship isn't there.
Yeah.
Right. It didn't feel, it felt like the old school players got ganged up on. They just didn't have the numbers. And so they have to look at that. Absolutely.
And my other fear is, like, even if they go to 24 players and they do like 16 and 8 or 14 and 10 or something, is that you are going to get Sari, Boston Rob, Sandra, Tyson, Parvati. There's five of your 10 old school. Now, what other old schools are you going to get? Oh, you got James. That's awesome. You got Colby. You got Jerry. That's great. And now we have two spots left for random old schoolers. And you're going to throw in Rob Cicerino maybe. And maybe you throw in Lex. We didn't get anybody new now. And that's what I'm supposed
to feel like Heroes versus Villains with most of those names you just said.
Yeah. And I do worry that it wouldn't feel super, what do you call it? That you wouldn't get any one-time players pre-season 30. That's what I'm concerned about with this season, is that you don't
get players. I think it's going to be tough, and I hope they do find a couple, but I think that if you've only played once at that point, it's like there's been so many opportunities. And hey, maybe, Earl, we just heard, was really close. Todd was really close. I mean, they are obviously winners.
I think if anyone can be the exception to show why maybe pre-merge players should get a second chance or should be looked at, is Kimmy Kappenberg from Second Chances. She was voted in. Fans were excited to see her name on the list because it was like a what the fuck moment. Like, I was stoked because I love the Outback season. And I was like, this is so cool. Her and Jeff back on the same season would be so iconic. They both made it on. But Kimmy was a pre-merge boot. And she goes on to like practically make it almost to the end.
Yeah,
it's
like sixth, right?
Like, no, she's in, like, the finale. Yeah.
So let's like revisit some of these like pre-merge boots, because they could come back and be a shocker to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who, if you're looking at this, who would you not want to see? Who would you be most disappointed to see? We've talked a lot about the positive, but who would you be most disappointed to see back on that you actually think has a chance to come back?
It would be the Boston Rob.
That's it.
Yeah. And I'm not dogging on him. He plays the game, and I love players, but at what point does it become too oversaturated? Like, how much do we need to see of you? Like, he's just going to be on the Traders coming up. So it's just, and Deal or No Deal Island. Yeah. It's kind of like,
he was on a full season where he wasn't even like a cast member.
Like, he has his own show on like the home renovation celebrity. Like, we've seen him so, and it's nothing against him. If he comes, we know he'll play. We know he'll deliver. It's just, I personally would rather see a fresh face that I haven't seen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree. I was just curious, because I feel like everybody has their one of like, we don't want to see that. But I feel like Boston Rob is the name coming up right now. And even from Boston Rob fans, it's like, I've seen it. I've seen it now so many times. It's just, it's a lot. I couldn't tell if you were about to say something, so I'm going to go. You've talked a little bit about, you've mentioned some really deep cuts here, so I'm almost scared to ask this question, but of all the players who have played, who's the deep cut that you would want to see play that you think has a chance to play?
Oh, I thought you were gonna be like, that would never come back. Because
well, honestly, you could do both of those.
If you were able to get a Colleen or an Elizabeth on 50, oh, I would die.
Big time.
Those are two names that you know Jeff has reached out to for All Stars and Heroes versus Villains. I get it. And they are like the original sweethearts of Survivor, especially Elizabeth, who's made a career for herself beyond the show. Like, I would be so fascinated, especially with like how politically involved she is and has been kind of controversial. It'd be so interesting to see her back on the beach. That is wishful thinking to its max. But like Colleen and Elizabeth, I would die. I would be like, wow, you did it. You finally got them back.
I see. I think those names, just because they were so prominent and big when those seasons right. were airing, the viewership was so high. Even someone like Greg Buis, you could add in there.
Yes.
Like to me, those names have more of a chance than like Gina or Brian. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I really do think if they're like, man, if we could get Colleen from season one, let's just reach out to her. Let's talk to her. She was the original kind of America's sweetheart of this show.
I would die. I think
Hasselbeck would be a little trickier, but if you reach, I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask and just see. Like, I think that would be like phenomenal casting.
Okay, wait. So what was the question again?
Sorry. And then the other one was who's your deep cut that you actually think has a chance to play?
Oh, I would say Lex.
Lex. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like
imagine him and Boston Rob back on the game. If you're gonna put Boston Rob,
you better give me Lex or you better give me Johnny Fairplay. Seriously, because I want to see
Rector or John Carroll or Vesepia. Like there were so many Marquesas names we spoke like talked about that, like, you know, that Rob has some relationship with.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That really would. No, and what's funny is though you mentioned Colleen and Elizabeth, and I'm over here and like, you know, the big nerd in me is getting chills, being like, oh man, we could get Colleen and Elizabeth back on our TVs, like something that we've all given up on, right? Like we've all given up. And there's nobody from the new era that gives me that feel because we just don't have that connection to them. It's not their fault, but we don't have that connection to them. And I just don't want this to become 41 to 49. And then, you know, you get like your Rick Devins and your Dom Abate, and like, that's all we do. And it's like, that's it, done. Everybody's post 34, except for here's a random person from the first 10 seasons, or it is Boston Rob. And you say, is he really a season 4 Survivor player? No, he's a season 40 Survivor player at this point. Yeah. Like, he's played so many times. So yeah, it's tough. I don't know how they're going to do this. I feel like no matter how many times we talk about it, it doesn't get any easier to see how production is going to sit down and say, here we go.
Yeah, they need some sort of like, I don't know, maybe they don't. Like some sort of groundwork of what they want. Like, what are the stories they want to tell? What are the themes? But maybe it's easier to just be like, let's just, I don't know.
And they have two years really to work on this, right? Like it's, yeah, about 2 years.
They have till next year because the film this time, yeah.
Like even just like throw up people, like do a poll, like put it up on CBS.com, something, and just start seeing fans engage and interact and get an idea of like, what are the fans wanting?
Like, and we start a movement to just get everyone to spam vote Gina Cruz day after day after day after day. Interesting. Gina Cruz is getting like all these votes. I feel like 90% of the vote.
T-Bird come back. Like that was someone from Second Chances that I was shocked didn't make the ballot. Yeah. I think she would be fun. Like a Kelly Goldsmith. I don't know. There's so many.
Kelly Goldsmith would be
seasons really 1 through 10 that I would be like in awe to see come back.
Even we had
Kobe from Palau, I would die.
Kobe from Palau, Inside Survivor, they've done a couple interviews recently with Tammy, Dave Johnson, Lindsay Richter, and Kobe Arca.
Like, if any of them come back, I know Kobe would.
I know Tammy said she hasn't watched literally since her season. I think Dave said he would. I feel like Dave looks like exactly how you would expect Dave to look 20 years later. It was so fun. I was like, oh, there he is. And then let me see. I didn't actually see it. I forget what Lindsay's answer was. I'm almost 50. And when I was on, she said, I would do it again, knowing what I know now. However, I'm almost 50. And when I was on, I was 26. That's the crazy part about this stuff. And when we interviewed Ethan after Winners at War, I asked him, I said, who from your season deserves to play again? And I know he's really tight. Like he was really tight with Big Tom and Lex on his season. And I asked him, and he said, Kelly Goldsmith. He said, Kelly should have played Survivor again.
Yeah.
And it's like, There's, I mean, Will.
Good. I forgot how good she was, yeah, like in her confessionals, and just she was great.
I just looked up the picture of Dave Johnson. That's funny.
Exactly how you would expect him to look 20 years later, James. It is.
Oh my god.
But yeah, I feel like I don't know. I don't know where they're gonna go with this. I don't know what they're gonna do. I love talking about the old school players. Let me ask you this though. Let's talk briefly about new school, because I think there's going to be plenty of them.
Right.
Who are your top names from the new era that you actually do want to see play again?
I need my girl Shan. Mm-hmm. Without after playing the challenge with her, like I was already a fan of hers from 41, but being on the challenge with her and just knowing her personally, I'm like, I need to see her back on TV. Like, I just love Shan. I think she would be a shoo-in. I would love to see Carolyn again, but I would be curious how that would work with the traitors coming up, if that would hurt her in any capacity, but I doubt it.
I think she's one of those players where she can't do much wrong. Like,
yeah.
She would be the exception of, contractual obligation.
Absolutely.
She'd be someone I would love to see play again. I mean, D and Jam Jam are no-brainers, like you said. I would like to see Owen. Mm-hmm. I really like Owen. And Charlie,
yeah.
Charlie deserves, I feel like he's just going to get that second chance spot.
Yeah. I would like to see Charlie, especially because he's just a fan of the show, to see him play with I picture me, like if I ever played Survivor and then I come back for a returning season and I'm playing with the Jerrys, the Colbys, Sandra, Rupe, like all these people, I would be freaking out. Like I would be so besides myself. And I feel like Charlie as a fan of the show would love it.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of how it was with Adam, right? Like Adam got to go out there and play on the track with Boston Rob. Like what? Yep. What the hell? Like that
with everybody.
Yeah. That would be so insane to just show up and look around and be like, my idols are sitting here. And I feel like Charlie would be good with that. And I feel like I feel like somebody like Owen, that would be a shock for him too. Like I feel like he would love that. And I've always talked about Owen. We did a Survivor Second Chance this season where I tried to pitch to Will and Russell Muscle TV that Owen deserved to be on the ballot, and at the last second he was cut. But I fought and fought and fought because he's a huge fan of the show.
I think we had Jake kind of take his spot because they were both kind of filling the same zero vote finalist Charlie Brown role, and I think we were coming off 45 and Jake was so fresh in our minds. But I mean, I think they'd both be good. Jake was, really trying to make so many things happen and just never was able to.
And James, I don't know what your take on him was, but do you think that there's any way they don't have Q on 50?
Q's got to be
there. I would feel like he would be for sure.
Q's the kind of guy I would love to see interact with the old school players. Like I would love Q and Lex on the same tribe to start. I feel like that would be fun because I feel like Q would be so loud and Lex would, do his little oh yeah, this is fine. And then go to the confessional and be like, I'm going to kill this guy. There's no way we're making it through the next 39
days. But that that tableau of Lex and Q, that's what season 50 should deliver us in some form. And even it could be someone who, we haven't seen in a while, even if it's Sean Rector and D, who knows what kooky combinations that we'll get. And
it would be so fun.
That's kind of what the job of 50 is. It's bring people from all the eras and that we can get these really amazing connections.
Yeah. Because I feel like season 27, when they did Blood versus Water, I feel like that did a good job of that with Tina. When Tina came back and we hadn't seen her since All Stars, and we got to see her interact with some of those newer school players like Tyson her and Laura had a pretty good relationship. Kat, it was interesting to see Tina work with those people, being that she was such an old school player. And I think that's where some of the fun of this comes in, right? Like somebody posted a picture yesterday on Twitter where they said, I'm rewatching Heroes versus Villains, and I'm actually disturbed that Russell and Rob are good with each other at the beginning. They didn't know each other Rob hadn't seen Russell play, so they didn't know each other when they walked out there. And then that became one of the most iconic rivalries in the history of the show, and it existed for like six episodes, if that, because then Russell's out so early in Redemption Island. And yet it's so iconic that it's almost weird to see them interact. We need to find a way to get those types of relationships, right? Like, you know, and I know like Gabler is probably the least popular of the winners right now. But if you throw a Mike Gabler out there with a Lex or with a Colby, because I think Colby is a year younger than Mike Gabler, which is weird to think about in the grand scheme of like, we watch Survivor and I haven't seen Colby since he's young. Like, when you think about that, like, are Colby and Gabler going to be an alliance because they're at the same point in their lives? That's so weird to think about, but that's the kind of stuff I want.
Yeah. So why not? Okay, let's do 50 people, five tribes of 10. Each tribe, like seasons 1 through 10, 11 through 20, 21 through 30, 31 through 40, and then 41 through 49. Mm-hmm. And just let them duke it out. And you got a healthy mix of everything. Legends, maybe early boots. Just like, give us just like a wide range.
There's a tribal council every night. So you have 50 players, 50 days. And you just
wild.
Boom, boom, boom. You have like 1 day off or 2 days off, I guess. So you end up with the final three. But yeah, I'm on board. I'm on board. We got to blow this up. We have too many good ideas here.
Yeah. And they have, they just have to go big. Like that's really what this comes down to. If they don't go big, I think the disappointment will be 20 players, 26 days. And it's two tribes instead of three because now we're at 20 players. So we have two more players. So 20 players, 26 days. And it's five players who have played three or more times. It's 10 players from the new era. And then it's five players who we've seen play. Maybe there's one player on there who's a one-time player. Like, that's where the disappointment's going to come. That's where the disappointment's going to come. And part of me is scared that that's what they're going to lean on. And I know we were just talking about the fun relationships. But like, Boston, Rob, and D isn't as exciting to me because I've seen Boston Rob interact with so many players in so many different eras of Survivor that like, no, give me the older stuff. I like it. James, do you have any other crazy ideas, any other names you wanted to throw out there before we kind of start wrapping this? Anybody else that you're like, I don't want to see them on this season? Anybody you're like, I do want to see on this season? Any twists?
I would like to see Amy Cusack.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a great player as well. I'm like scrolling through every name right now.
That's a good like deepish cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's definitely a solid player. Haven't seen her in a long time.
I would almost argue that she's probably the most forgotten player to play twice.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know about that. I think Monica Padilla is probably.
Oop.
Well, that's a win because I forgot Monica Padilla to play twice. So, Will, you win. That's definitely right. But Amy was so.
I'm sure there's someone better too that we can't.
No, I don't. Maybe no, I don't think so. Monica, now you got me saying Monica. Amy was so integral to Vanuatu. Like she was so good in Vanuatu, and she came out and like Amy had to die so we could get Eric Reichenbach giving up immunity at Final Five because it was between the two of them at the Tribal Council where she goes home. But she was playing so hard, and I feel like she plays so hard, and I feel like Vanuatu has gained popularity. I mean, it's one of my all-time favorite seasons.
Yeah.
But she's just kind of forgotten right now, and people don't really appreciate how good she was at the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember being upset she was voted off, like, right before the merge in Fans versus Favorites.
Yep.
I was really bummed. Eric Reichenbach, that would be fun to have back.
Mm-hmm. Especially he's never got a full story.
Yeah, he especially got medevaced.
I feel like he'd be a fun one to bring back again.
And his clip, like he's been in so many seasons because of like he's been in Ghost Island. He's probably been in Winners at War, maybe not Winners at War, maybe. Anytime Saree plays, I feel like they replay the clip. So it's like he's been on our screens. He just hasn't been physically out there in 20 seasons.
I feel like an Alicia Calloway would be good.
That would be a funny.
I don't think she would. I feel like she's come forward and said like she doesn't need to do it again. But I think like a name like that for 50 would be fun.
Be a good one.
I
just hope we get a lot of people. That's got to be, I think, the number one thing.
And realistically, it's like, who wants to come back? Like, that's the big thing. Like, I can have all these names of people that I would love to see play again, but some have publicly said, like, I don't need to do it again. Like, I don't need to come back. Like, I'm done. So yeah, I'll just be so curious, like, if anyone's perspective on coming back will change, knowing it's 50 and then there's a lot of hype around it, and it just could be like a fun celebration for.
Hard to say no, I feel like. Even if you've said no in the past, and we have a couple people in the chat right now saying Eric won't do 50 because of his kids, and Eric says he doesn't want to come back ever, but like, if he actually gets the phone call, is he going to not answer the phone?
I don't know.
Probably hear, all right, what are the dates? Mm-hmm. How long is it?
You know, Twyla would be a fun one.
Twyla's on. Yeah, somebody said Twyla, T-Bird, Kathy V. That would be a fun trio. That's your right new there. Witches coming.
I don't need them to bring anyone who's quit. I think that's like a done deal. Like, anyone who's quit.
What about Jenna Marasca? Would you take Jenna Marasca?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the exception. And also, like, she's someone that would have been fun on Winners at War. But mm-hmm. I'm saying, like, quit because they couldn't hash it. Like, exactly. They literally were like, I'm done. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. Jenna, like, was clearly going through that stuff with her family. And, like, she made the right choice to leave. But anyone else who quit because it was too hard, the conditions were too much, they don't need to come back.
I got two more names and then one question for you. And I just want to see what you think.
Okay.
Russell?
He's a hard no for me.
A hard no for you. Okay. I feel like that's how a lot of the fan base feels. So that's where it's like some people would love to see him back and others are just like, I wouldn't watch a season with him on it. So I feel like that's going to be one of their toughest decisions is going to be what they do with Russell.
Like it's been long enough where we got so much at once and like we haven't seen him play since season 22. So it's
like, doesn't he post like some weird shit on social media? And I don't know.
I
think there's a lot of controversial stuff or things that he said, and that's why people are like, no, we don't need to see him anymore. Mm-hmm. And I could be misspoken on that, but I do think there's a little bit of a he's way off the deep end now. We don't need to see him back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I don't know enough about that. I feel like I'm just, Will and I are kind of looking at it just from like a perspective of would they cast him. But if that stuff's going on, then obviously they're not going to put him on.
It would be interesting, but I would say that's a no for me.
Yeah, that's a no. The other one, and this is just because I think it's, you know, being that you're a huge Survivor fan, do you think any original Survivor 26 player could potentially play this season? Is there anybody that would even make your radar? That's the only season pre-30 that has never had a returning player.
That's
we gotta have to hit the Google machine to
Jimmy figure Eddie. Out.
All right. You're saying from like
from the fans tribe.
Mm-hmm. I would say no.
Yeah, House of Spoke, Reynolds. There's Eddie. I actually thought Sherry was pretty solid, but she gets
I met Sherry on a cruise. She would be fun.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, let's go with Sherry.
He's wild and fun. That would be interesting. But I feel like there was a lot of weird stuff around that season that I just don't know. I would say no.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that one out there because everybody always talks about that's how Guatemala was for the longest time. We hadn't seen anybody actually return from Guatemala. Now 26 is the only
season. Which is shocking because I'm like, Lydia would have been fun to have bring back. Rafe would have been amazing to bring back. Rafe would be fun for 52.
Yeah. We had a comment here about Judd too.
Judd.
Oh, yeah.
I love Judd. We've had Judd on the podcast twice. He's amazing. I always thought Brian and Amy were amazing from that. Gary Hogaboom, I would watch Gary Hogaboom eat pizza like he did on that season all the time. Jamie go out there and be nuts. He was great.
Oh yeah. Guatemala has some good names.
Guatemala is a very underrated season. It's on a rewatch, it is so much better than people give it credit for.
I've always liked that. Yeah. And Vanuatu too. I feel like those seasons both just never got the love they deserved.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I can't remember who the other name was. Maybe there was no other one and I just wanted to ask about Russell and say, oh, I know, Philip Shepherd.
No,
I don't need to see him.
No. You don't need to see him again. All right, that's it. I mean, those are your massive names.
I would prefer Philip over Russell. So okay. If I had to pick one or
what
the
about
other,
Cope?
Philip. Coach, yes.
See?
I did like a Jubilee video with people from different reality shows. We just talked about our experience, and Coach was like the survivor point of view on this Jubilee video. And I really liked Coach. I really liked him. So he would be interesting to bring back.
Yeah, he just did he played trumpet on Ben Katzman's new album.
Yeah.
The Greaser new album. I mean, Coach is just involved. Coach just seems like a good guy.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. You have anything else, James, before I let you go? You got any parting thoughts? Any last things you want to throw out?
No, but I do hope selfishly that Survivor 50 pairs really well with season 40 of Amazing Race. And I would ideally like 40 of Amazing Race to be an all-winner season, because I feel like as a fan, just season 40 of Amazing Race and season 50 of Survivor going together at the same time would literally be too much for my brain to process. But I hope that that's how they end up doing their scheduling, because I just feel like that would be a great way to celebrate two of CBS's biggest shows.
Yeah,
that have paved the way for the reality unscripted genre.
Any particular winner from the Amazing Race that you might want to see on the all winner season? Any particular?
I want to see James on.
Yeah, that's.
Are you talking to me, or are you talking to?
Yeah, I mean, I'm asking both of you. I think the answer should be the same from both of you, right?
As a fan, I would love to see Robin Brennan back, and it would also just be really fun to race against the OGs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's how some of the newer era people too with Survivor probably feel. It's like, all right, let me get one shot at somebody, especially with how much they talk shit about the 26 days. Let me get
for sure. Oh, I'm sure everyone would love to play against Boston Rob and say that they were the reason he was blindsided. Like, people would love to just have that, you know, title.
Exactly. Well, James, it was a pleasure. I'm glad we were able to get this in. I love this discussion. I really hope somebody listened and they do this two season idea going side by side. I feel like that would be so much fun. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/specialist. I just finished the 2016 season of Australian Survivor for our top two tiers of patrons. I was satisfied with Christie's win, which I am learning is a very,
whoa, no spoilers.
Point. So, yeah, I'm learning that's very controversial. So anyway, if you want to listen to me talk about it, go ahead and check out, our Patreon, and we'll be back soon. I think Will and I are going to be doing a Traitors episode soon where we talk about the different roles in, what is it? In One Night Werewolf and how
One Night Ultimate Werewolf. Go through all the roles and all the expansions, because they have some crazy roles. And maybe, I don't know, part of me thinks we might get halfway into that podcast, be like, none of these really work for TV.
It would be fun to add another layer to the Traitors that would be unexpected.
Because yeah, like adding
it's
a
just
role.
Gonna start feeling repetitive.
And that's how we feel. Yeah.
Even as a player, like if I were to ever play, it would just be like the same, it would just feel the same. Like you need something to shake it up.
Yep. Yeah. So that's going to be our next Traitors podcast. We'll probably be putting that out sometime next week or something like that. So thank you all so much for listening. James, thanks for being here. And everybody else, we will see you next time.
Bye, y'all.
See ya.